ABPF programs using Rust and the AYA library. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Hi, guys. Thank you for attending the session today. So I'm going to be basically explaining how did I get into ABPF, Rust, and so forth, and why Rust. I'm basically a Python developer, originally, so I spend a lot of time working in OpenStack, which is an open source project you may know. So you may be wondering, why the hell did I switch from Python to Rust and so on? But first of all, come with me. I'll just have like some quick intro about ABPF, how does it work? It's going to be quick. So basically, ABPF started out as a new backend for some packet filtering. And TLDR is a way to run user space code within a VM, within the kernel, which makes it so much more efficient. So how does it work? Just super quick here, we got a user or a developer writing an ABPF program or an application. Then it gets compiled using a compiler such as LLVM or whatsoever, and that gets into bytecode. And then bytecode gets loaded by your ABPF library, and then it gets to a verifier, which was heavily covered in the previous session, and it gets to a just-in-time compiler, which makes it basically so much more efficient, and that's why we get basically like machine code ready, and it's much more efficient here. We also then we attach our ABPF program to what it's called a hook. A hook is basically a set of system events, such as thinking about like a Cilium. A hook would be, hey, something has happened in our NIC, or something has happened in our system whatsoever. And then we can call a series of what we call helper programs, such as, for instance, I got an incoming packet, and I just want to forward that to, I don't know, another NIC or whatsoever. In order to do so, I also have like a set of maps, which is basically a shared structure of memory in between the kernel space and the user space. Recapping this a little bit, this is basically like we attach in the kernel space, we attach to a BPF hook, network events, syscalls, whatsoever. We may write data into maps, and the user space, we deploy the program to the kernel, we may read from the map, and the map itself, it's used to basically store, and the storage space is limited. And then we here, you can see some super quick and dirty like space. There we got a pop program. It's may use a map. Then this is an example ripped off by some Go library. And then we got the compiler verifier and so forth. And this is fine so far. But I'm a new developer. Why should I use Rust or Python or Go? Or I guess that there's even some JBA eBPF libraries. So why Rust? Recapping this a little bit. As I told you before, I am originally a Python developer, so I tried using Python to build a BPF. Guess what? Didn't work well. Because first of all, there's a BPF compiler for Python called BCC, which is a BPF compiler collection. But the thing is that you need to basically go and create your BPF program as a string in Python. Again, as you may know, Python is not a compiled language, so it's interpreted. And this worked in a way, so whenever it gets interpreted, it did go, compile the thing, and go on. And also, this is somehow being deprecated. And then we got C, of course, which might be the main language to use for a lot of people when running and doing a BPF. So we got BPF, it works. I'm not a C developer. I got lost a lot, so I decided this is not a good thing to use, for at least for me. Then we got Go. In the beginning, I started using Go BPF. I think it was cool to have until I realized that it's probably the first one that was developed in the terms of library, so also deprecated. Next, we got Cilium BPF. This one's pretty cool. So thank you for the isolating guys. It's really well maintained. It works well. I can also do Go development, but I'm also working in some project, which I'll be speaking about later, called BPF Man, which was already written in Rust. So I decided, okay, let's give it a try. So we got a couple of libraries, libbpfrs, redbpf is another one which is no longer also maintained.